T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
In the gun is Hurts. Sanders to his right. On first down. Give goes to Sanders. Tries to get outside. Breaks a tackle. 50, 40, 35, 30. You asked for it, you got it.
You asked for it, you got it. The running game that cannot be stopped. Good morning, everybody. It is a breezy fall Saturday morning in the Delaware Valley. Along with Ray Dinger, I'm Glenn Mack now. We got a lot to cover today, by the way. Really fun guest for Tell Us Your Story, Ray, Flyers great Mark Howe, Hall of Famer Mark Howe.
Yep. Yeah, he was a great player and a very good interview. And I think his father played a little bit, too. Well, we might get into that.
I found a great clip of the two of them on the ice together that we will play as that starts at noon. We have a great, we do our Shibe Sports this week in Philadelphia sports history. And Ray, one of my all-time favorite moments, not long after I moved to Philadelphia, The first of the two Bounty Bowls, which I didn't know. You ended up having a little bit of a role in there.
Yeah, I wound up kind of in the middle of it, as I often did back in those days.
So we're going to play that, and I want to start by opening up the show talking about the Eagles' offensive line and the running game. That was Miles Sanders ripping off a run last week. One of his better plays, he did fumble once, almost twice. He did run out of bounds with 4.5 minutes to go, but he also had 91 yards rushing as all of the Eagles were effective in that. By the way, two giveaways today. We have our Shibe Sports $50 gift card to Shibe Sports, where there is a story in every stitch. Visit them in Center City at ShibeSports.com. We'll give out one of those out to one of our two best callers. And, Ray, as you know, I am in the play Anything Goes. We opened last night at the Players Club of Swarthmore. Great crowd, really fun show, really enjoyed it. I felt really terrific about it. We're going to give two tickets to somebody to come and see the Players Club of Swarthmore production of Anything Goes now, between now and December 11th. Tickets available at pcstheater.org. pcstheater.org. All right. Ray, suddenly things are going the Eagles' way.
Mm-hmm.
They have won 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 139 points in 4 games, 35 points a game.
That is correct.
New offense, run-oriented. It's working. Defense coming around.
Who knew?
For those who just joined this show, Ray's been mounting that trope for decades.
I've only been saying, you know, you can run the ball. I mean, you can actually. It's in the rules. Look it up. I'll get you the rule book. It's not a break against the rules to hand the ball off to a running back. You can still do it. You can still do it. And not, you know, somebody will call you a dinosaur, but guess what? Who cares if you're winning?
Let us harken back. Ray's backyard. Southwest Philadelphia. 9-year-old Ray discussing offense with his friends. Hey, Dinger, let's throw the ball. No, no, no. Run the ball. That's what we do. I want that cut to a movie scene. There you go. With you in that football uniform that you wore for Halloween. Anyway, the defense is coming around. Ray, the Cowboys lost on Thanksgiving Day. That was a thing of beauty.
It certainly was.
It was so much fun. And the rest of the schedule is a cream puff. Ray, it's a Thanksgiving miracle.
Mm-hmm. Therein lies the danger.
That it's too good to be seen, that the Great Pumpkin is going to go away?
Too easy. Yeah, too easy. I can't tell you how many times this week.
I don't worry about that.
You don't?
No. Well, I guess it depends on what people's expectations are.
Well, have you been listening to this station this week?
Not a lot.
It's oh, we're going to run the table.
No.
We're not going to lose another game.
Who are you? What are you listening to?
I'm listening to
I'm
listening to our very station. I'm listening to the callers.
Well, and I love the callers, but I don't always agree with the callers.
But I'm telling you.
Their job is to get overly excited.
Yes.
That's their job.
That's their job.
All
right. But then what happens when the players start to hear that and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we are. We are all that. We are going to win every game. We are going to go to the playoffs. I mean, what?
I just need him to win tomorrow. That's all I need.
Okay.
And then we'll deal with next week. I hear what you're saying. Listen, you and I have been doing this long enough. And, again, I love and respect the callers. But the callers, a fan's job is to get overly excited, overly upset, overly dramatic.
Correct.
I don't think that Jason Kelce sitting around saying, like, well, Neil from the Northeast says we're going to run the table. Guess I don't have to go out and do the extra reps.
Well, you know Mary Kate from Delco believes that they're going to run the table.
She was great. That woman had her moment, and she made the most of it.
Oh, boy, did she ever. Did she ever. But here's the thing. Everything we say, and we're sort of half tongue-in-cheek here when we say it, but I can assure you that the message from Nick Sirianni to the players this week has been, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it.
As John Chaney would say, don't smell yourself.
Yeah, don't buy into it. Look, we're playing really good. You look at the tape, you can see that. But don't take anything for granted. And that's why I actually think that, you know, that sorry ending to last week's game against the Saints could work in their favor. You know, I mean, they thought they had that game in the bag after three quarters, and they did. And in the fourth quarter, they just really took their foot off the gas. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, you're looking up at the scoreboard and saying, oh, geez, you know, we need to get a first down here. You know, you don't want to do that. And I think Sirianni seems to me to be a pretty smart guy, and I'd be willing to bet you that he's sort of hammered home the theme of, you know, we let down a little bit in the fourth quarter last week because we thought it was going to be easy, and we almost wound up hurting ourselves. So, you know, that there's a lesson to be learned there. You got to play every game one at a time, and you got to play for 60 minutes. This is the National Football League, after all.
All right, how many wins do they have?
Right now, five.
How many losses do they have?
They have six.
Well, okay. Then I don't think they should be sniffing themselves at all. They're basically a
they
team
shouldn't be.
That had... Well, okay. And I'm not in the locker room. I don't know, but I suspect and hope that the veterans on this team of Jordans and Jalens are letting them know, boys, those of us who have been to the Super Bowl know we're a long way, so let's all calm down. But, Ray, I want to focus on... Really, the heroes of the season, and this is where I love having your expertise, because if this team has any chance, and by the way, when I say any chance, to me it's like finish 9-8 and make the playoffs, okay? I'm not running any tables. I'm not winning any divisions today. I'm not looking at first-round playoff matches. I'm saying at this point, you know what? This team could shock me by having a winning record, and I would be delighted if they do. If they finish 9-8, they're odds on going to make the playoffs. Great. Probably get blown out in the first round. I'll live with it. The heroes to me are, from left to right, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelce, Jack Driscoll, Lane Johnson. One of the things, and this is where I want you to explain something, okay? They are primarily a zone-blocking scheme behind one of the best lines in football.
Mm-hmm.
What's a zone-blocking scheme?
You block a zone as opposed to a man.
Okay. So let's go over each of these guys one by one. Jordan Mailata. I want your 30-second breakdown of each of the five.
Okay. Jordan Mailata just overpowering in size, overpowering in strength. And when he fires off the ball, he moves whatever's in front of him. Simple as that. I mean, it's just raw power on raw power. His technique has improved year by year. Actually kind of improves week by week, actually. He's to the point now where, I mean, he's one of the better left tackles in football. I mean, that's saying a lot when you consider where he comes from. And, you know, there's no issue about competition at left tackle anymore. That's his job for as long as he can hold it.
And by the way, has a little bit of a mean streak to him, which I like. Somebody took a cheap shot at his quarterback last week. He was not having it.
No, he warned the guy once.
Yeah.
He warned him once on the play on the little shove on the sideline, and he got in his face and wagged his finger at him, said, don't do that again. And then a couple plays later, you know, they're rolling around on the ground about it. And
yep.
that's And he was asked about it this week. He was brought into the media room, and he talked about it this week. And he said, "Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm looking out for my guys, mm-hmm. you know." And listen, when you're 6'8" and 365 pounds, you can look out for a lot of guys. Even in the NFL, that's big.
That's big. Landon Dickerson, the rookie out of Alabama.
Yeah. Getting better by the week. He was thrown into a tough situation at the beginning of the year. He got hurt at the very, very end of the college football season. Real bad knee injury, yet another one. He's had too many of those. Spent the whole offseason. The Eagles drafted him. He was still recovering from the injury. He goes through a long rehab. Really had no preseason to speak of. Didn't really get out on the practice field to start working until the first week of the regular season. And all of a sudden, Brandon Brooks goes down and Seumalo goes down, and now they got to put him right immediately into the lineup with very little preparation. And for the first couple weeks, he struggled, especially in pass protection. But his run blocking was good right from the beginning because he's so big. I mean, he's not quite as big as Maialata, but he's pretty close.
Country big, as they say.
Yeah, and he is. He's 330 pounds himself. So the run blocking thing he picked up pretty quickly. Pass protection, he's gotten better week by week. And now, you know, he's playing really good. And the left side of that line with those two guys side by side, I mean, if you want some yards, you can run behind them.
Yeah, and that's your future too. The ageless one at center, Jason Kelce.
Playing great. Playing absolutely
great.
Did you
see the play last week where he just leveled two different guys on the one play?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing to me that a guy at his age who has played as much football as he's played still has retained so much of his athleticism, that he's still able to do the things that he did early in his career in terms of being able to get outside and get to the second level and block on the edge and block downfield. I mean, he is right now, as a 12-year veteran, making plays that second and third-year players can't make. I mean, it's amazing how good he still is doing the things that make him special. And obviously, in terms of just his experience and his football IQ at the line of scrimmage, what he sees, what he does at the line of scrimmage, how he adjusts the protections, how he picks up where the stunt is, who's going to loop, who's going to jump. I mean, all of that stuff that you see him pointing out before the ball is snapped has been so helpful when you have so many young guys there. I mean, Maialata is still a baby. Dickerson's a rookie. Driscoll is a second-year player. I mean, these are all young guys mm-hmm. that he's playing with. And so he's up there he's up there telling them exactly what to do before every snap. I mean, that's – and then when the ball's snapped, he's the best center in football. So, I mean, right now
– all right, we're not done.
Well, no, I was just going to put this out as a coda. Right now, he might be the most indispensable guy on the team.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't know how you'd go about replacing him.
Yep. The anonymous one, Jack Driscoll.
Who, as you know, I've liked him.
Yeah, you did. You're a big fan.
Right from the beginning. I mean, I liked him on draft day. I mean, I saw him play in college. The thing I really liked about him was he seemed like a really smart player. He never missed an assignment. There was never a mental error on his part. He never missed a switch. He never missed a loop. I mean, a lot of times young guys come into the NFL and teams will, when they run a stunt inside, like when one guy pushes down and another guy loops around, very often young linemen won't see it. You know, they'll miss it because they don't see it. It's not they can't block them. They can, but you got to see them to block them, and that's the problem. Driscoll never had that problem. I mean, right from the beginning, you could see that once the ball was snapped and there was all kinds of movement in front of him, he always knew where to go. He always knew where to be. The one question I had with him last year was, okay, are you going to play him a tackle or guard? You probably should take one or the other. He started a tackle. They've moved him to guard. He's made the adjustment just fine. It looks to me like he's gotten bigger and stronger. I thought last year he needed to do that. It looks like he has. And right now nobody talks about him. Emory talks about the other guys on the line. He's sort of the forgotten guy, but shouldn't be because he has really stepped up his game, and it looks to me like he could be the long-term answer there.
All right, and then finally, the guy who's come back this year and come back so well from personal difficulties, Lane Johnson.
Playing outstanding football. He really is. And last week he was really, really good. I mean, he's going up against Cam Jordan, who's one of the best defensive ends in football and has been for a long time. and he locked them up. I mean, look at Cam Jordan's stat line. I mean, it wasn't much. And you never heard his name called. And you see all the plays that are made out there that, that Hurts was making. Look at what Johnson's doing on the play. I mean, he is so rock solid right now. I mean, he's played well since he's come back, but I thought last week he played particularly well. And if he can keep playing like that, man, you know, when he's on his game, he's as good a right tackle as there is in football. And last week he was definitely on his game.
Well, Ray, that was a great breakdown. And listen, we spent a lot of time, understandably, talking about Jalen Hurts and talking about big play Slay and talking about other guys and the coach and the defensive coordinator. But these guys, to me, these guys are the backbone of the team. And if the team is going, whatever success the team is going to have, to me, is based on those five guys.
They have saved the season.
Yep.
Those guys have saved the season.
All right. One other issue I wanted to get to the in the first segment here, which is related to the Giants tomorrow, which is, they changed offensive coordinators midstream. They fired Jason Garrett. We don't get to beat Jason Garrett anymore. They brought in Freddie Kitchens, former coach of the Browns. Is it going to be helpful? I mean, they still got
the
Daniel
Giants
Jones as quarterback.
not surprised. I mean, the way the offense was going under Garrett, there was going to be a change. And couple things happened in the last couple weeks that were, if you read the New York papers, you kind of read between the lines, that Joe Judge sort of pointed the finger at Garrett. Didn't name him by name, but sort of said, you know, we got to try and put some of these guys in a better position, give them a better chance to succeed. And Jason Garrett kind of said, well, you know, I can only do what I'm given to work with, you know, and, you know, look at my offensive line. So Judge is kind of looking at Garrett.
It's not Garrett, about me, it's about them.
Garrett's kind of looking at the front office.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, this is not going in a good direction. Now, I didn't know that it was going to happen right now, but the Monday night game in Tampa, they just looked so inept offensively. I mean, they ran a couple plays that were just almost bizarre in the design of them, why you ran them against that particular defense. When the game was over, I thought, you know what, it wouldn't shock me if there's a change. And sure enough, within 24 hours, there was. Now, the question is, how does that impact the game tomorrow? Freddie Kitchens comes in, and I would expect that what you're going to get is, look, he's only had a short week at that, plus with Thanksgiving thrown in the middle. He doesn't have time to rewrite the whole playbook. But every time I've seen one of these in-season changes, the new guy comes in and puts in three or four trick plays just to let people know that there's been a change. You know, so, you know, I think what you're going to see is you might see a flea flicker in there. You might see like a double reverse, maybe. You might see maybe like a wildcat formation, something like that. I mean, it's not going to be a totally different offense because you can't build a totally different offense in that period of time, but I guarantee you there's going to be like, you know, four to a
Saquon
half
on Barkley taking the lateral, tossing it off to Evan Engram, who's going to throw deep to Daniel Jones. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't know if he's going to be that quite that elaborate or exotic. But
that's my trick play.
Well, I could see a pitch to Saquon Barkley where he sweeps wide right, and then he pulls up and throws a ball down the field.
Okay.
You know, just sort of an option play. I mean, I could see that. I would expect to see three or four sort of plucked out of the blue kinds of plays. And if you're the Eagles and you're the defense and you're Jonathan Gannon, you have to be aware of that.
Good point. Very good point. Let's start the phones. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. David in North Philly starts us off. Hello, David.
Happy holidays, guys.
And you as well. Best to you and your family.
Definitely. I think it was Howie Roseman that said they want to be a quarterback factory. This team is an offensive line, a running back, and a tight end factory. They get them in the lower rounds. They get them undrafted. They get the guys. They get them in there. They play, and they play well. And because of the way he's positioned the team, over Rob Ellis, I think his quote is, this is the quicker fixer-upper league. This team is going to – they're not going to be in contention for a Super Bowl, but they're going to be very prominent over the next two seasons, even with all their deficiencies. And I did not see that coming. I thought this year was going to be a lot of stumbling, but the the way the calendar played out, it exactly played out how we saw at the beginning. You're going to be in contention around this time of year because you have all the division games at the end. And over the last 3 weeks, look at all the teams. Who's good in this league? I mean, New England seems to be the most consistent, but I saw the Bills lose.
Well, I don't think anybody's great. I think there's a lot of good teams. I don't think anybody's great. I don't think they're – Ray, do you agree there's not one at this point now, right, at the end of November?
No.
There's no one team that you say, like, oh, man, that's the team to beat.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Nah, I agree with that.
There's no juggernaut. And that's I mean, that's what the NFL wants. That's what all about parity is. And
sure.
With this being the Philadelphia for a long time, I already know what's going to happen. They're going to win 4 games comfortably over this last stretch just to make that Dallas game interesting, and who knows how it plays out. And there will be Dallas lost to Las Vegas, and they're going to stumble in there just to keep it interesting and keep us tuned in for 17 weeks.
I hope so. Listen, Dallas plays the Saints next, and we agree the Saints are cooked, right? That's a team where injuries have stolen their year, so I got to give Dallas the win there.
Dallas has, I think their next 3 are on the road.
Well, that's fine, but I still think they can beat the Saints wherever they play.
Well, I know, but I'm taking, look, if you're looking down the road, they're struggling right now. They're struggling on both sides of the ball, and they got to play 3 straight road games.
So, David, you are saying that when we get to what is now week 18, Eagles-Dallas, that game will have some meaning.
Yeah, that's just the way, I mean, we saw it coming, really. I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was like, oh, it's going to be a rough schedule at the beginning. And because of how the schedule lays out with the division games, you literally can't be out of it, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, so, maybe. I didn't think they would be this good this fast. Go ahead.
I got something about Howie and these rumors with these quarterbacks. If let me paint a scenario where Jalen Hurts plays good, mm-hmm. and we win 4 or 5 games, whatever, they get into the playoff and he's serviceable. His trade value at that point, if they don't expose him, he has no flaws. Could he be traded to Seattle with one of the first rounds and bring back Russell Wilson?
No, that's I don't know if he could, but I wouldn't. Thank you, David. I don't understand the Russell Wilson talk, Ray. I don't understand the Aaron Rodgers talk.
Right.
You have a young quarterback in his first contract, which gives you money to spend elsewhere,
right,
which you need. Why would I take all of that and trade it for, well Wilson's what, 32?
32, yeah, I think he's 32 or
Rodgers is 37, 38, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Okay, why would I do that?
I would only do that.
No, I would only do that if I'm a great quarterback away from winning, and I'm not. I'll build with this young quarterback for now. If he doesn't look good this year, next year, and I feel I got to draft somebody, move somewhere else, I will. But for now, he's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with him, but for now, he's the best option I got.
Well, you're winning with him. When you talk about the contract, I mean, he's got 2 years. Mm-hmm. If my math is correct, he's got 2 years left with $3.6 million. That's a pretty nice number to have your starting quarterback at. And that's where they are with this guy. So that's certainly an advantage. And, right now, why do you want to tamper with it? I mean, right now you finally got your season on track, and this guy's a big reason why you're winning these games. Why are you looking around to make a move? I'm not either.
All right, Ray Dinger, Glenn Macnow, 215-592.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
94-94. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack. Okay, a couple updates, Ray. My WIP last fan standing pool started with 10,000 people. Going into last week, we had 437.
Right.
The Texans shocked the Titans with help from former Eagle Kamu Grugier-Hill. Did you see that interception return?
Yeah, I did.
85 yards. Just one of those ones, big guy runs out of gas at the end. But that helped a shocker as the Texans beat the Titans. That game knocked out half the people in the pool. There are now 210 left.
Wow.
In my last fan standing pool with 7 weeks to go. Still haven't had to have a roadblock game. Still hoping not to do it.
You might not.
No. So good luck to those 210. All going for that ring from Mark's Jewelers, PA. All right, Ray, in other substantial betting news, last week it was 3rd and 11 at the Eagles 37, deep in the third quarter, when the highlight of the game. Some people may not find this the highlight of the game.
Oh, more people are week by week.
For me, I was. The Eagles go back to punt, and here's what occurs.
Zippus to punt. Harris to return. This is high. End over end. And it will bounce across the 20, across the 15, across the 10, and out of bounds at the 8.
Excellent job, McPherson, just ushering that punt out of bounds.
Yeah, well, McPherson, good for you. Zach, or not Zach, Aaron Zippus gives me one more. He's had 11 in 11 weeks. I'm way behind the pace. I need 20 in 17 games, which means I need 9 in 6 games. The math's easy, Ray. I need 1.5 a game.
Mm-hmm.
This one per game ain't cutting it for me. Dinner at Ralph's restaurant. Veal parm. Apparently looking more and more like it's on me. For you, me, and our producers.
No, this is going to be in play right to the very end.
I hope so.
This is going to go down to the last game.
Well, I need a big week or two.
You know, one thing about Zippus that's helping you and killing me.
Yeah.
This guy never has a touchback.
I know.
He never kicks at the end zone.
Yeah.
I was looking it up. Do you realize 9 weeks he's gone since he last had a touchback?
Wow.
The last time he punted a ball into the end zone, it was week 2 against San Francisco.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he never does that.
I understand. That's great. I don't get points for touchbacks. I only get points for punts within the 20, and he's not getting enough opportunity. I need the Eagles to punt more from their own 40, damn it. All right, let me work in
I thought you'd get it last week.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought that the Saints defense would hold up
a
little bit better, and there'd be more punting opportunities. And you know, we've already seen now that Nick Sirianni is not a go for it on fourth down kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I thought you were going to get like at least 2, maybe 3.
They screwed me up and scored 40 points.
Yes, they did.
You know, 4 touchdowns, 4 field goals don't help my punting game.
No, they do not.
Raul in Wilmington is with us. Hey, Raul.
Hey, first, I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
And I hope you both had a great holiday.
We did. Thank you.
I have two questions for you. The first is, as a prefatory matter, I agree with what you said about the chief quarterback. I think Hurts is doing a fine job.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we're still hearing about Howie Roseman going all over the country looking at quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. The first question is pretty simple. How good or bad of a draft is this upcoming draft for quarterbacks?
Right.
And the second is...
Well, let's do the first.
Hold on.
Ray, how good is the draft for quarterbacks this year?
Not very. No, it really isn't. I mean, I think it's a stretch to say any of them is a first rounder. You're probably going to get at least two are going to get taken in the first round just because they're quarterbacks and there's that need. But there's no Justin Herbert. You know, there's no Joe Burrow. There's no Trevor Lawrence. There's nobody like that that you look at and say, yeah, that's a franchise quarterback right there. None of these guys. You know, Matt Corral is probably going to be the first one picked. And I kind of like the kid from Pitt. But there's nobody here that I think is, if you're talking about using one of your first round picks on a quarterback, I don't see him in this draft.
All right. Roel, what's the second question?
Well, that's what everybody has said, and that gets to, so we're going to have to start over if we do take somebody. The second question is about how involved are Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie in the week-to-week game plans for the team?
I think that's very overstated. I think that's conjecture. I think it's a lot of it is based on something Doug Peterson said when he left, which I don't doubt, which was after the win against the Packers, I believe,
mm-hmm.
that the owner said, like, boy, you sure ran the ball more than you passed, and the Eagles scored 30-something
points. Yeah, they beat the Packers in Lambeau.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, got traction and should have gotten traction, but I don't think that Jeff Lurie sits down during the week and does the game plan. I think he sits down with the coach after each game and assesses what he saw. But I don't think Lurie is handing him plays.
All right, well, thanks again. And again, happy holidays.
Thank you, and same to you. All right, Ray.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think we hear that a lot. And there are people that have sort of taken that and spun their own narrative out of it. But no, I think that, look, Jeff and Howie meet with the coach. Jeff is on the field watching practice more than most owners. Most owners really aren't around during the week, and most of them certainly don't stand around and watch practice.
Most of them have other businesses.
Yeah, most of them have other businesses, and most of them, you know, aren't that interested.
I got to run Federal Express here.
You know, Jeff is. I mean, yeah. Jeff likes it. So he's out there all the time, and he's talking to Nick all the time. So he knows, philosophically, he knows where the owner's coming from. But this idea that that they're sitting down with him saying, well, run this play and run that play, no, it's not like that. That's not that at all.
Scott and Bala, you're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys, I love your show as well, and I had two quick points, and I really did want your thoughts on them. The mm-hmm. first one is this. It's obvious to me that the easy fix, the easy way to go here is to be a grinded-out team, run the ball, use that offensive line, help Jalen Hurts, and carry that into the draft. Draft a safety, draft a linebacker, draft an edge rusher, get a cornerback later, and make that your team. That's a team that can actually win, and that's a team that works for Jalen Hurts. So I don't know why everybody tries to go against the easy way. It seems like a no-brainer to me. So that's my first point.
All right, Ray?
No, I agree with that. I there's really nothing for you to challenge. I think everything you said makes perfect sense.
And you have the tight end there. So if you know, so the second point is this.
No, the one thing I would say, by the way, I think that you said draft a cornerback later. If the right cornerback's there, he might be my first pick, to be honest with you. I mean, good corners, really blue chip corners, they're a hard commodity to find. And the Eagles, you know, I don't know if Steve Nelson is the long term guy there. And Slay is 30 now, which is an older for a cornerback. If you can get a shot at at a Stingley, one of those kinds of kids, like a real blue chip corner early in the draft, that might be your pick.
Yeah, well, I agree. My point is just load up on the defense, and we certainly need.
We agree there. We agree there.
Yep.
And then the second point is, and I don't agree with this per se, but there could be an argument made that, you know, a healthy Jordan Howard fits better into that model that you're trying to build, that grinded out model. He doesn't lose yards on plays. He doesn't put you behind the chains. He puts a hurting on the defenders over the course of the game, and he's going to put you in, you know, good positions, especially for Hurts and for Goddard. And
yes, but yeah, and listen, he has been great, and I hope he gets healthy, and I want him to continue here. And you know, people forget how good he was early in his career. And I may pick the wrong week to be defending Miles Sanders since he fumbled almost twice and ran out of bounds again after that.
Right.
But he remains an explosive player, and I like an explosive player.
Mm-hmm.
Thunder and lightning, mix them up, three-headed monster, whatever. I don't need one running back. I need more than one.
Right.
Scott, excellent call. I appreciate it. Ray, before we hit this break, I want to get to something because you reminded me this week, as the Eagles face the Giants, that there was a lot of intrigue back.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In May, between the Eagles and the Giants, and it culminated with this moment at the NFL Draft.
With the 10th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama.
Well, the crowd's going crazy anyway, and they love that. And it, the Eagles did not go into that day with the 10th pick, of course.
No.
Traded down, traded up, traded around.
Mm-hmm.
Snookered the Giants. How'd that happen?
At that same moment that you heard the commissioner reading that, the sound in the New York Giants war room was,
because little different than what we got the footage of Minnesota last year.
Yes.
When they got Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the New York Giants were all in on Devontae Smith. He was their pick. He was it. And when the Eagles did what they did, it totally turned the Giants' world upside down. And what really happened is, listen, this was the first big break that the Eagles caught this season. And you can send a basket of fruit and a bunch of flowers to the Denver Broncos because they made it all possible. They made it all possible. The draft was really playing out pretty much the way most people thought it would until he got down to number 9. And the Denver Broncos had already made a trade, which I still can't quite figure out. But, okay, they traded for Teddy Bridgewater. And they bring him in. And if they hadn't made that trade at the 9th pick, they probably would have taken Justin Fields. But because they had traded for Teddy Bridgewater, now the field's wide open to them. The Dallas Cowboys are sitting there with the next pick. The Dallas Cowboys are all in on Patrick Surtain. And the Denver Broncos take Patrick Surtain. So that same scream of anguish that you heard from the Giants when the Eagles took Smith was the same thing that happened in Dallas when Denver took Surtain.
Yeah, except.
Now, what's that?
It worked out well for Dallas.
Worked out well for Dallas.
Yeah, in the draft.
Well, yeah. I mean, they move down and they get Parsons.
Yeah.
But that isn't what they wanted.
Yeah, well.
They wanted Surtain.
I bet you they have no regrets.
I don't know. Do you see Anthony Brown on Thanksgiving night?
You think
they need help at corner?
Well, that's true, but I would argue. I don't want to get sidetracked. I think Parsons is a dynamic player. I think Parsons is a terrific player.
He's got issues, but he's a real talented guy. But no, they wanted Surtain.
Okay, that's fine.
They wanted Surtain.
Here.
So anyway, Dallas now, yeah, they could have taken Parsons. They could have taken Parsons there if they wanted to, but they didn't. They wanted Surtain, and so the Eagles. And I give Howie Roseman full credit for this. Howie Roseman knows that the New York Giants are up next. And he knows the New York Giants are all in on Devontae Smith. So Howie, you know, it's no sure thing to talk a guy in your division into trading with you and helping you, clearly. But Howie picks up the phone, calls Jerry Jones, says, hey, let's swap picks. Let us jump into your spot. Jerry says, okay. Eagles jump up, take Devontae Smith. The Giants immediately, for the first time in David Gittleman's career as an NFL executive, he actually trades down. He had never traded down before, but this so flummoxed him that he trades down to number 20, and at number 20, they draft another receiver, Kadarius Toney from Florida, who right now is on track to be this year's Jalen Reagor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you can really say that the NFC East took a significant turn on draft night.
Sure.
And it's all thanks to the Denver Broncos.
There you go.
Because they made it all possible.
Thank you, John Elway. 215-592-9494, along with Ray. I am Glenn. We are here at Delaware Park Racetrack and Casino. Watch and wager on all pro and sports, all pro and college sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook Lottery Agent. For the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play. All right, it is 10:50 on a Saturday morning. It is rivalry week, which means it's time for the Ray Dinger College Football Preview. Oh, hail to the victors, Ray.
Yes, that does sound familiar. We're back in the Gerald Ford administration. Everybody remember that when Gerald Ford used to get off a plane? Back then? They didn't play Hail to the Chief. They played Hail to the Victors.
No, that's good.
Because Gerald Ford actually was, for those who don't know, Gerald Ford was an not All-American. People have stretched it a little bit beyond its reality, but he was an All-Big Ten center at the University of Michigan and a Detroit Lion draft choice. He could probably play for them right now.
Right now.
The way they're going. But we are going there. We are going to the Michigan-Ohio State game. And it's being referred to as, and the TV ads, I've seen the TV ads are calling it the game. I used to think that the game was applied to Harvard-Yale. Wasn't that originally the...
I
think that was they were the first ones that sort of co-opted the idea
maybe
of...
Maybe in New Haven.
Of, quote,
not
the game, capital T, capital G. But in any event, and this week, yeah, like Michigan-Ohio State is the game. And this is rivalry weekend, so you got all over the country. You got a lot of traditional rivalries. You got Alabama's playing Auburn. You got Clemson's playing South Carolina. Got Oklahoma State's playing Oklahoma. A lot of those kinds of games, but the one that's going to capture everybody's interest, as it should, as it does most years, is Ohio State and Michigan. And this is kind of become the Jim Harbaugh Bowl, because this is the game. Listen, when Michigan paid all that money to hire Jim Harbaugh to be their coach, they didn't hire him. They're not paying him all that money to beat Indiana, and they're not paying him all that money to beat Northwestern. They brought Jim Harbaugh there to win two games, to beat, and not even Penn State that much. They want to beat Ohio State, and they want to beat Michigan State. That's where it is for the people in Michigan. And he hasn't been able to beat Ohio State yet. And Ohio State, I didn't realize it had gotten this bad. Ohio State has won 15 of the last 16 against Michigan.
Whoa.
I didn't realize. I mean, you're almost getting to the point where it's not even a rivalry now.
Harbaugh's got to have a statement game one of these days, right?
You would certainly think so. And this game, Ohio State's been a funny team this year because they started off the year very poorly. They have really good players. If you watch them play, they got really good players, but they were really slow putting it together. Well, they got it together now, and you know they showed it. Yeah, showed it when they just destroyed Michigan State a week ago. And they beat them so soundly and so convincingly that the point spread on this game jumped way, way up. Originally, if you look 2 weeks ago, this game down the road was a 2 to 2.5 point line. After Ohio State just crushed Michigan State in that game, this line jumped up significantly. So now it's somewhere in the range of 7-8 points. It's jumped that much just on the basis of Ohio State's domination of Michigan State. Right now, this is a big game for Harbaugh. This is a big game for Michigan. They've sort of come back, and they're playing pretty good football right now. I think just in terms of the personnel, the two teams on the field, I think Ohio State is better. C.J. Stroud, their quarterback, is playing really well. But I think Michigan's going to give them a battle because, listen, they've built their whole season towards this game. It's in their building. And I think they're going to – this is sort of Harbaugh's last stand. I don't know that he's going to get fired if they lose it, but there's an awful lot of pressure on him to win it. And I still like Ohio State in this game, but I don't know if I like him with a whole lot of points. I think this is a game that's going to be real close right down to the end. I think this is going to be – an Ohio State-Michigan game that's going to be better than recent ones. I think this is going to be sort of a flashback to the Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler.
Oh, kind, there you go. Ray, you're getting more running than you can take this month.
I don't know if it's going to be all about the running, but what I'm saying is I think it's going to be a game that's going to be close and really hard fought into the fourth quarter.
All right, one other thing I want to get in there, Penn State. By the way, that game is the Penn State-Michigan State game is on WIP at 3:30. Ike Reese is looking to recover back in East Lansing. Penn State signed James Franklin to a 10-year extension. What, they went 10 more years of the Weed Whacker Bowl?
I don't know.
Penn State, once upon a time, was this elite program, and I don't want to get into the whole Joe Pod debate because that seems rather pointless, but Penn State is now just another program, and to re-sign Franklin to a 10-year deal, I don't get that.
Surprised me because the Penn State people that I know who are staunch Penn State people are not that crazy about James Franklin. It's not like he's an overwhelmingly popular guy with the really prominent alums, with the long time big Happy Valley supporters. You know, they're not crazy about James Franklin at all. And I know a lot of them were surprised and not particularly pleased when the news came down that James Franklin had been given a 10-year contract.
Well, he's still there. All right. Nice report, Ray. Let's go to the phones and let's talk to Michael in Lower Gwynedd. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
All right, sir.
Hey, the one thing I want to talk, I had three things I wanted to talk to you about. The one was, all right, Jordan Howard's going to be out. I don't know if you guys caught it, but Miles Sanders was doing the same thing when we were at the end of the game, trying to kill the clock out. He runs left, and instead of going down, he goes out of bounds.
Yeah.
Who is going to take over for Jordan Howard to just pound that ball? Because I just think Boston Scott's too small.
Ray, let's say they run 30 running plays tomorrow.
And let's just hope, let's hope the Giants, we're beating the Giants.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to beat the Giants. But let's talk about 30 running plays tomorrow, not including the quarterback. How do you divvy up 30 carries, Ray?
Sanders will get the first crack at it. But you can't ignore Boston Scott's history against the Giants.
Yeah.
Boston Scott kills the Giants. He kills the Giants. I think I was looking up the numbers here. Boston Scott against the Giants. Four games against the Giants. He has 222 yards rushing with five touchdowns. He also has 14 receptions for 210 yards and another touchdown. I mean, that's almost more. That's almost half of his career rushing yardage has come against the New York Giants. So you got to be mindful of that. He's had great success against this team. So, look, I want Jordan Howard back. I do because I really like him, and especially you're heading into December. You're heading into some nasty weather. You want that big back that can run with some power for you. And I think he'll be – the indication was Nick Sirianni said this week that, yeah, he's not going to play this week, but he could be back as soon as next week. To me, the sooner the better. But I think you'll be fine with just Sanders and Scott.
All right. Well, I'm getting a little worried about the Flyers.
Yeah.
Starting to fall down the division. I don't know what they do because I don't know if you go after the coach. But I think if they get to the trade deadline and this ship hasn't been righted, Ellis isn't playing, Hayes is hurt again. I hate to say it, but it's time to sell the farm and sell Giroux.
They've lost five in a row. They're 8-7 and whatever they are.
Yesterday's game was ugly.
Yeah, they can't score a goal, Ray. They can't score in the power play at all.
No, their power play is atrocious.
Well, the trade deadline is not till March, so you got time to worry. But your concern, Michael, I believe is legitimate and good call. I appreciate that he brought up the Flyers.
Well, one thing, I mean, it's you know, five losses in a row is not good in today's NHL. But they have played a really tough schedule. I mean, you think about that. I mean, they got to play. They had the last three in a row were Tampa, Florida, Carolina, who are three of the best teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds weird in the NHL to talk about Tampa, Carolina, and Florida as the best teams, but they kind of
are. Boy, that's, you know what? That's a great point. You know what? You were the best caller of the day just for that.
I just can't get my arms around that. I just can't.
I hear you. It should
that
be,
they're in the league, okay, right. But that they're the best teams in the league, that just like, seems weird.
You know, yeah. Pittsburgh, Montreal, whatever,
yeah,
Detroit.
Throw me a couple Canadian teams.
Yeah, know, the original six or something. 215-592-9494. Coming up, oh, we relive a great, great moment in Philadelphia sports. I bet you I enjoyed it more than Ray. Just my hunch is that I enjoyed it more than Ray.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.